All right, I said the Lord is good. If you believe the Lord is good, give me a loud amen.
Amen.
Okay, now let's get into our study for today. Now let's read Genesis chapter 1. It says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2 says, and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. He called the light day, and then evening, morning, the first day. Then he said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. The expanse and all of that. And then he called these days, and then if you keep on reading, at the end of everything, let me just jump down because of time. At the end of everything, in verse 31, the Bible said that God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, and that was the sixth day. Now, what I want us to bear in mind again, just like a review for the things that we have said, is that God is very powerful. We know that. We know he has all the wisdom of this earth. Do you understand the point? And he could have just said, let the earth bring forth all that it contains. Because the Bible said the earth is the Lord, and the fullness thereof, all that it contains. And then we say, and it was so. Now please, but God did not do that. What did he do? He started by breaking things down one by one. And I explained that shows us that there is a wisdom in what he was doing. Do you understand the point? It wasn't just, you know, the Bible says, when we read from, the book of Proverbs, he explained that at the time of creation, wisdom said, I was beside him in creation, and I was daily his delight. Now this is the point I'm making. That God created by using wisdom, and he knew that one step had to go forth before another. He didn't just let the earth come forth with all that it contains. No, he took it one by one. And I made a point which I want to review again, and that's the fact that he has something in mind when he will say, let this be. And then that's why he will check. Now, when he was looking, and the Bible said that thing that he did was good, he was actually checking that what he said, all right, had produced according to the pattern he had in his mind. Now, don't forget what I said about words. There's what the Bible calls clanging cymbal, all right? You have, like we said in English, an empty barrel. What's an empty barrel, scriptural speaking? An empty barrel is the man who says, it is well. When deep inside his heart, he does not know the meaning of it is well. He does not really believe it is well, but he says it is well because that's what they said in church, everybody should say. Do you understand the point I'm making? That's why when I say this, I've said it so many times, it feels like a joke, but that is actually true. That sometimes when we are praising God, we say, O thou God that dwellest in light inapproachable. And God is saying, do you know the meaning of light not being approachable? Do you understand my point? Have you ever seen light that cannot be approached? Do you understand the concept of light being unapproachable? Let me explain what that means. It means that your praise, that expression in that praise, did not go beyond your ceiling. Only you heard it. Because you see, God does not use our airways for transmission. It's what emanates from inside your spirit actually that he hears. I hope you're getting my point. Therefore, when he said at the beginning, light be, what happened was that there was a fullness in his heart. And that was what was expressed by the things that came out of his mouth. So we established that when he said, when the Bible said that the Spirit of God moved over the surface of the waters, that what he was doing was to assess the situation and decide what was the first thing that he wanted to do about the situation. He didn't just start talking. He first decided, this is what I want to do about the events of the earth. And then when he said, this is what I want to do, this is what will come out of the things that I have done. When will I will have done it? So he said, light be. It was an overflow of what was inside his heart. Because there are two things I want to talk about today. Number one is that concept of full persuasion. Are you getting my point? That is, we must understand how one comes to full persuasion. There is something that God is doing. That's number two. And that's number one. Then number two is what the Bible means when it said Abraham contemplated his body. But with regard to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. Those are the two things I want to explain. But we have to bear this one in mind before we get down to that. That is, it is what is inside your heart really that you can speak out. and it will have effect. That's why people go to church, they can repeat anything that is said in church, it doesn't have any effect. That was why those sons of Sceva went to go and cast out demons. They looked at the demons and said, "We cast you out in the name of Jesus, whom Paul understands, the concept behind the name, who Paul is able to appreciate what that name means. But we believe that once you just chant the name, it's like a mantra. It should work." Do you understand? They said, "We cast you out in the name of Paul, of God, of Jesus Christ, whom Paul preaches." And the people said, "Paul, we know. Jesus Christ, we know, all right? But you, there is no weight inside your words. When you say Jesus, it doesn't have any concept inside you. That's why you can say, in the name of Jesus Christ in English, it works. You go to Hausa and say, Achikusuna Yesu, it works. You go to the Spanish man, will tell you, Jesus. And we are all saying the same thing. Are you getting my point? Whether the demon was created in Bangladesh or it was made in Rwanda makes no difference. Whichever language, if the demon possessed does not understand English and the pastor preaching, are you getting my point, speaks another language from the one that guy understands, you know, maybe like pastor is preaching English and the demon possessed man speaks only Fufude, that's Fulani language, all right, it doesn't make any difference. The reason being that it is not the words, it is what is emanating out of the spirit of the man that is uttering for those words. So when we say Jesus, what we mean, it's very, very clear. Everybody has come to understand that whichever language you use to describe him, if you call him Isa, fine. If you like, call him Joshua. Once we understand that it is that Jesus that was born of the Virgin Mary, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, who suffered under Pontius Pilate, who was crucified, and who on the third day rose up again from the dead. Listen to me, if somebody had delivered a New Testament in which they wrongly spelled his name, it would have made no difference. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? It would not make any difference. You could have mistakenly said, he called him John. And we'd be going around saying, the name of John, come out. All the demons would have come out. Because when we are saying John, the spirit understands who we are referring to. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? And that's what we must understand about the power of words. Please, I will talk about that today. It's not just words that you speak. Learning the right words. Learning, you know, the correct things to say. You know, if you want to go to church, say this well. I have seen a man preaching on TV. He says, tell your neighbor, it is well. I say, you don't believe what you are saying. He's not a preacher, he's a clown. He says, tell your neighbor, it is well. Touch your neighbor, touch people. And I say, it is well. I say, this one is not a Christian, he's not born again, nothing. He's just, you know. So it is not just the words you use. It's what? What is contained behind those words? That's why the Spirit of God brooded. He was brooding upon the surface of the waters, contemplating the situation. And I talked about it, that's about two meetings ago, what I call contemplating the mess. You must know exactly what is the issue. Open your Bible quickly to Romans chapter 4. What I'm talking about today is that the process of full persuasion, okay, and the promise of God. Let's put it that way around. The promise of God and the process of full persuasion. Or let's make it shorter. The promise of God and full persuasion. That's good, right? All right, the book of Romans chapter 4. I want to bring out something for us to understand. I've commented on this here and there. Let me start from verse 16. The Bible says, "For this reason it is by faith that it might be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, that is, Jews, Gentiles, and every nation of this earth, descendants of Ishmael, the descendants of Isaac, and everyone that believes by faith." He said, Abraham is the father of everybody. He said, "As it is written," this is a proof for that, "a father of many nations have I made you." The Bible said that this faith was in the presence of him who he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist, or beautifully put in King James, that calls those things that be not as though they were. He said, concerning this faith, verse 18, Abraham, in hope against hope, he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. Please, this is where I was going. Verse 19, without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, And he also contemplated the deadness of Sarah's womb. He said, while contemplating these two, verse 20, yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully assured, please, King James, I love the expression there. He said, I'm being fully what? Persuaded. Why I like that expression is because persuasion shows us that there was a process. That is, he had to be convinced. A thing will happen, another thing will happen to put things together to bring him to the position in which he was just absolutely certain. Are you getting my point? So he said, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was reckoned, he said, it was also credited to him as righteousness. Let me stop there because my emphasis is on the process in the life of Abraham. Please notice something here. And that's the fact that the Bible talks about two kinds of hope. I can't say this thing enough. No, one of the reasons why I have to say some of these things again and again is that you say something once, somebody goes out and hears another thing 100 times. He tends to forget that which you said once. Now that's not ideal, but at least let's help the people a bit and say the right things again and again. Are you getting my point? Alright. Now, we said there are two kinds of hope in this situation. First, what is hope? Hope is that expectation that you have because you have information. If I called you, Ubong, where are you? He says, sir, I'm at the airport. I'm on my way back to Enugu. We need to see. Yes, I'm boarding the flight now. I think we should take off any time from now. I expect you in Enugu in 1 hour. Alright? So, somebody now come and say, this is serious. The key is with Ubong. What are we going to do? I'll tell the person, no, don't worry. He'll be here in 1 hour. How do I know he'll be here in 1 hour? Because he told me, I'm boarding the flight right now. Now, so that's hope. Hope is not a wish. Yes, I want him to be here because the key to a particular thing that we need is with him. But that's not what hope is. That's wish. That's a desire. Hope is that I have information to show that he will be here in 1 hour. So somebody will ask me, how are you sure he'll be here in 1 hour? You see, I just finished speaking with him and he said he was on a plane and they were about to take off. And the brother said, all right, maybe we should go and wait for him at the airport. Are you getting my point? That's what? A hope. Now, so Abraham had the hope. What's that hope? You are old and your wife is old, therefore you can't have children. That's one hope. Now, I've taken time to explain so that we will understand that that hope does not mean you like it. It is not necessarily in agreement with your desire, but it's what a solid conclusion which you have come to by reason of the information that you were given. You get the point. Now, but then, this is the second part of it. It said, against hope, he believed in hope. That is, there was another hope, and that one came from believing the word of God, because he said, according to what has been spoken, so shall your descendants be. That is, God gave him another word, and that created for him another expectation. Now, I want to understand something, please. That's why I'm reading this. Because I talked about, now, there's the next line, verse 19. He said, without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body. Please, let me say this again. When we read from Genesis chapter 1, and the Bible said the earth was without form and it was void, the Spirit of God was contemplating what was wrong with the earth. The typical Nigerian behavior, which is actually a reflection of a natural human being, is that the earth is without form and it is void. But we have heard that Mars is with form and it's not void. Are you getting my point? Or Jupiter has been well created. All right, therefore, let us go to Jupiter. Let's go to Mars. And peradventure, we'll get there and find it also formless and void. We'll move on to Neptune. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? We'll just keep moving. But God didn't do that. He settled down, looked at the situation. That's what I'm talking about. He contemplated, I've explained this before, I'm sure you are aware of that. He contemplated the situation. What is the problem? They said that, okay, between now and next year, if I don't pass this course and this course and this course, I will be out of school. Now, get what I'm going to say. He contemplated the problem. They said, between now and now, if I don't pay this amount of money, they are going to take my house, they are going to take my car. Are you getting my point? I'm going to become homeless. The typical faith behavior, which we taught, maybe people taught us that, or we just wrongly assumed that's what they were saying. The typical faith behavior is that they say, sir, they say in 5 days, they are going to recover your house. I said, no, I don't want to hear that, you know. I don't want to see it. You follow my point? I don't want to see it. I'm a man of faith. I don't see the things that are negative. I don't look at them at all. I don't let the devil tell me anything. I remember when we were in school those days, people preach this kind of faith. Now, I mean, College of Medicine, which I was in, we didn't do the course system. But most of the rest of the school, virtually all the rest of the school did what they call the course system. You know what they call the course system? Course system in the university. You do chemistry 101, chemistry 102, physics 101, physics 102, that's a set of courses. Then you pass physics 101, it qualifies you to do physics 103, and physics 201 next semester, something like that. So you have to pass one course, all right, before you move to another one. And eventually you don't pass that course. You don't have to do the whole of physics. You just go and take physics 102, if that's the one you didn't pass, and you repeat it. Now, I had friends then. Many people, very, very common on campus, when people were learning the word of faith, they will say, I have believed God that I am going to pass this exam. Therefore, they will read. And then the day, most of them didn't read anyway, I remember. They didn't bother reading. It was not necessary. It was the arm of flesh. It normally will fail you. They said, arm of flesh is reading. Why do you want to work hard to pass? Because if you had faith, you would just close your eyes and everything will be all right. Okay. But then they remember to go for the exams because they use arm of flesh to go for the exam because they didn't have the arm of flesh you're studying beforehand. They will not come out and tell you that. They will not hear and say, results are out. They say, what am I going to check? There's no point. I don't need to check it. I'm a man of faith. I don't need to go to the board. I have friends who had serious problems just because they wouldn't go to the board and look. I'm explaining today that the Bible says that Abraham contemplated the issue. I remember one sister came to me. I've shared it with you before about the walking of the word of God. Then I had... Now, if I tell you how old I was, then you will understand. The sister came to me and said, please, sir. I said, what's the problem? I just saw my results. And they are withdrawing me out of the faculty. He said, pray for me. She was crying. So I just said, all right, it is well. That is like, my God, how am I going to handle this situation? This lady has come to me with a serious problem. How am I going to handle this situation? I said, it is well. Don't worry. What's your room number? She told me. I said, okay, tomorrow, around maybe 6 o'clock in the evening, I'll come to your room. I'll come and visit you. Is that okay? Now, the idea was, go away while I try to think about how to respond. And that day I went home. Dear God. No, you know, if you had just come to inform me, say, see the problem, but it's all right, Sha. I would have felt better. This one, she was, you know, the whole day. In fact, the eyes were shrunken because the water inside had been used for tears. And then outside was swollen. So I went there next day, like, because I promised. I still remember very well. It was the Spirit of God. I just went in, sat down, and I began to talk. In fact, she was waiting. That is, you know, somebody was waiting. She didn't go anywhere until I came. So as soon as I sat down, we prayed a bit. And I began to talk. I can't remember what I said. All I know, I kept talking. As I was talking, her face was lightening up. The Bible said they looked to him and were radiant. And their faces were no longer ashamed. Her face was just brightening up. By the time I was leaving, she was laughing. She was laughing and laughing. And I left, you know, I can't do more than what I have done. I just left. Cut the long story short, much later she came to me one day. This is the same fellowship. And walked up to me that she just wanted to know what happened. Okay, yes, what happened? That the dean of the faculty gave a special concession to them that if they can do this and do this, they will not run off of the faculty. So she has this time to accomplish this, and that, pass this course, pass that course, and then she will be okay. I said, well, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's just in my mind. Now, I'm going to explain something here. She looked at the problem, and then I went to her with the promise of God. Are you getting my point? It's not to just close their eyes. That's what Christians think faith is. No, I don't want to know how much I'm owing. I don't want to know. I'm a businessman. I have covenant with God. I don't want to know. It is wrong. It's madness. Are you getting my point? Faith is that you contemplate the problem, brood over it, because it's as you are looking at it that the Spirit of God begins to build a new picture in your mind. Do you follow what I'm going to say? I was going to say, Maker, today, you know, as soon as we hung up those two speakers, I said, now, wow, as everything that we have thought about has come to pass, this year, you know, I said, we'll get cameras to do this. You know the interesting thing? Before the year ended, we have gotten everything. We have gotten two cameras, two Sony professional cameras, video cameras. We have you can see it. I said to my wife, let's use this before the year ends. Two speakers, enough to carry, crowd. he can pump up more volume than this. I just looked at the inventory resume maker. I said, it has actually come to pass. They are on stands. I said, in my mind, when I used to see it, I used to see them on stands. But I didn't think about buying stand. But I went with a man who's a professional. He has a praise ministry. He said, "Bank, we'll buy stands now." I said, "It's true." So we paid 11,000 naira extra to get two stands. Now, get what I'm going to say. It was something that was inside the mind. Listen, before the year ended, literally, we have everything, including very expensive microphones that we used to wish for. No, listen, we have them. We have bought every single thing. And I just told this maker today, I said, "Do you know that these things have come to pass as I had them in mind?" And you hear me say that we are going to get two cameras. When I'm saying it, we didn't have... You know how much those two cameras cost us? $5,000 for the two of them. And we'll be telling you, we didn't have money. We didn't have. No, it's a matter of fact. Say, where did the money come from, Pastor? I will tell you where it came from, so that you know the way ministries are run. No, it's true. You know, sometimes people think that, this man of God must have a lot of money. You know? The way it happens is simple. People just say, maybe as we're just talking, somebody just came up to me one of those days, and just, Pastor, no, we must buy the camera. We must buy the camera. I said, that's very good. And the person left. By the time the fellow left, I looked. There was a 25,000 naira bundle with which I was hearing, we must buy the camera. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's how it works. Somebody just wake up and say, Pastor, I've been so blessed by these words. And the person sends you maybe 200,000. Now, that was what happened. Do you follow my point? All of us contribute. Don't think that Pastor Mark is running the ministry. As a family, there's a way we contribute to the work also. It's not just wake up in the morning and say, baby, we need money now. Yeah, bring money. No. That's just by the way. So what we just did, I just realized that as we have thought about it, now, why did I think about the things like that? Now, when we used to use my home appliance, you know, it was working well initially. If you know where we started from, you know how far we have gone. But the first time we had the seminar, after hooking all our speakers up, when 150 people jammed into here and there, when I said, praise the Lord, I couldn't hear myself. You know, those speakers were loud before. I didn't know human flesh, they soak sound. I said, guys, what's happening? They said, Pastor, the speaker is on the floor. Let's raise it up. So we went and raised the speaker. I shouted throughout the first seminar we had so that people would hear. I knew we couldn't continue like that. Are you getting my point? And the day we bought this other microphone, we plugged into the other system. When we shouted, praise the Lord, the amp stopped working. It just went off. I had to rush back home. That's when I went to get the other appliance that I had to replace that one. Now, what I'm trying to say is that it's as we're contemplating the mess that was coming up, that wisdom was coming concerning what we needed. And then we now say, we will do this. All right? Let me explain that again. It's not every time that you will say, ooh, light be. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And then light is. No. Sometimes you just express that, the way this power failure is going on, to run an effective ministry, we need, you know, you thought about it, so we need a 25 kVA generator. So one day, as you are talking, someone said, how was your program? Said, it was nice, but power failure really messed us up. So you say, for that reason, we are going to buy a 25 kVA generator. And that's it. The word has gone into the air. Are you getting my point? And Bible says, and light was. What happens is that word goes forth. You don't know the time limit. Even with God's own, we don't know exactly how long it took in our normal time. But one thing we know is that it happened. Do you follow my point? And I said something also. Let me just say it again. Sometimes along the line, the Bible said that God looked and it was good. Now, get my point. God looked and it was what? Good. You not say, that's because it was God. It was always good. No, there was a time he looked. And you know what he said? It is not good. You know that? After everything, he looks there. It is not good that man is like this. Before he had been saying, it is good. So sometimes you say something, and one thing happened, and you look. Maybe you say, we'll get a 25 kVA generator. So one day, somebody wheels a 15 kVA generator in and says, sir, my friend and I said we should bring this one. We saw it somewhere. It's going for a very good price, so we think that you will like it. Maybe ministry can pay for it. So you look at it, 15 kVA. What you had in mind was what? 25. So maybe because you needed it at that time and the money was good, so you paid for it. So as you are using the 15 kVA, you still see the shortcomings. So you keep on saying that what we are getting is what? A 25 kVA. Then one day somebody walks in, maybe use that one for about 2 weeks, and say, I saw somewhere they are selling for 25 kVA. Say, can we trade our 15 kVA, which is just 2 weeks old, in? Are you getting my point? What you are doing is you are making adjustments according to what you have said. Do you get my point? And that was what God said, did concerning Adam. He didn't just say, okay, Adam, I don't know how you can't be like this, but I'm gonna leave you like that, Sha. No. He said, it is not good the way it is. Therefore, I will make a remedy for the shortcoming. Are you getting my point? Now, you see all these things as you are brooding and watching what is going on. Are you getting my point? It's not as if you just say, leave things be. No. Each time something happens, and that was why God didn't just say, let the earth come forth with all it contains. No. Light be. Vegetation appear. Waters gather. Animals appear. He took it one step after the other. Are you getting my point? And that is what we call, last week I discussed that, that's what we call what? Wisdom. We call it what? Wisdom. But you see, I don't know why I'm going over that things. I'm saying it again so much. But actually, where I'm going, which I want us to understand, is the issue about the promise of God. Okay, I'm explaining about Abraham again. So you see, Abraham contemplated his body. It was while looking at it, he realized how dead it was. Are you getting my point? He looked at it, he realized the deadness of Sarah's womb. But the Bible said that what he used to judge the possible outcome was verse 20, with respect to the promise of God. Now, let me say that again. With what? Please, let's say it together loud. With respect. Now, let's shout it together. The promise of God. One, two, go.
The promise of God.
Now, this part I want to understand. That is, God had a promise concerning his dead body. God had a promise concerning the dead womb of Sarah. Are you getting my point? Listen, that was what he used to judge the situation, and that was what decided what he spoke about. Listen, as a believer, you must learn that principle. We are talking about creative power. I said there are two things that God gives us that makes us able to create like God. And God needs our creative abilities to effect the changes he wants on this earth. What are those two things I said last week? Wisdom and what? Power. It's not just power, but what? Wisdom also. That is knowing what to say, where to address the words, all right? Where to direct them towards, where the power of God should be focused upon at each particular point in time. Now, this is the power I'm talking about, because the promise of God is the power of God. Now, let me say that again. The word that God has given you concerning a situation is the power that God is using to tackle that situation in your life. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? That is, look, there was nothing wrong with going to the promised land and go and look, and going to look at the giants. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, nothing wrong with that. The problem is what you now say as a result of the presence of the giants with respect to the promise of God. That was what differentiated Joshua and Caleb from the other 10 spies and the rest of the nation of Israel. That is, God said concerning them that you can take them. So they went in, they saw the giants and said, for that reason, we can't go in, the other 10 spies. But Joshua and Caleb said, even though there are giants, we can still take it. Now, let me tell you something. It's not as if the giants will just vanish. But if you, with respect to the promise of God, all right, look at the presence of the giants. One of the things that God gives is the wisdom on how to tackle giants. I don't know whether you heard me. If a giant is standing 11 feet tall and he has a sword that is longer than your whole length, listen, it's not easy to fight. And let me tell you something about the men of David, those men of war. Their skills were not spiritual. What I mean by they were not spiritual. They could teach the skill to somebody else. I don't know whether you heard me. You know, the problem with Christians is that we like things that are not explainable. Amen. Amen. I don't know what happened. But the power of God just came. Listen, my friend, it hardly happens like that. Most times that Jesus wants to cross the sea, you know what he used to do? Borrow or rent a boat. Walking across water is one rare thing that he hardly did it in his whole life that was recorded, I think 3 times. 2 before he died, 1 after. You see, it was a rare thing. Most times, he will be preaching and preaching. Then the crowd is so much, they want to touch him. He said, Peter, let me enter your boat. Push me further into the water so that nobody can get there. Why didn't he just float backward? You think it's in a Chinese film? Listen. No be Chinese film. Now please get what I'm trying to say. The wisdom of God, all right? Was that not what he taught Solomon? Yes, Solomon could teach other people. People could come to Solomon and understand Solomon. They didn't come and say, what he's saying is just beyond us. Oh my God. But he has results. He has results to show. Results, results. Aren't nonsense. All this emphasis on results that don't emphasize the process. Look, don't let anybody fool you. Even Satan told you to get results. Jesus could have bowed and then would have gotten everything. He said he got results. Is that what we're asking for? But how did you get the results? You bowed to Satan. Are you getting my point? I'm talking about wisdom. That the skill of those men, okay, they could teach other people. What I mean is that after God had worked in them, Joshua and Caleb would discover something. That those giants, I have noticed something about them. If they are running, they can't break. As an example, I'm just adding my own to let you understand now. So you know what you see? What do you do? Next time you see a giant, show your face and start running. As he's taking a stride towards you, fall down and run back towards him. You will find that he finds it hard to slow down. That way you can thrust your sword into his groin from below. You see, So usually I have noticed that their reflexes makes them drop their sword when they are in great pain. Is that so? So next time, before you start fighting a giant, make sure he doesn't see you. Take a stone, crawl close to him, and stone him in the temple. Say, wow. Now, get my point. That is what the Bible calls what? Wisdom. That's why one person can teach another. The Bible said concerning Bezalel, that have put in him the spirit of the craftsman, not only to do good works, but to teach other people also. He had the spirit, but he could teach other people that spirit. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to say. That is why, they say you advanced countries, things work well, but they don't go to church. The people who founded the work wellness of things, notice my English, where they manufacture periodically. The people that founded that principle upon which things worked well, they went to church. Go and listen to Kaman. Kaman will tell you that of all the men that wrote the American Constitution, all of them minus one or two were active members of their church. Most of them, a lot of them were even lay preachers. Some of them were real preachers. I was reading about is it Abbott, the man that wrote the book on physics. I heard about it. That he got an award for theology, not for physics. Michael Faraday was a lay preacher. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Those who founded the principles, who created the thing, who God passed the wisdom for creation through, they went to church. But because the way the wisdom of God works is like this, it gives you insight and understanding. Then you take the understanding and you can teach it to a Muslim if necessary. Then somebody learns it and says there is no God. Because he learned it from the connection between God and man. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to say here. He learns, you know, I used to say because of my profession, you know, as a pathologist. Most people that come to use our facility in the hospital, they don't know we exist, except there's a problem. Because they bring in a sample, it's dropped at the reception where there is a clerk who gives them a receipt and they go away and tells them come back in 4 days or 1 week or 2 weeks or 2 weeks depending. And he comes back, his result is in an envelope. And he takes it back to his doctor. He doesn't know who did the job. Who came out, took the specimen, examined it, cut it, put it under the microscope, gave it the final diagnosis. He has no idea because he interfaced only with one person. Are you getting my point? That's the way it is a lot of times with God. So people will say that, you see, you go to those countries, they don't go to church, but things work well. Ask them. Did their fathers go to church? Yes. Those who used to try to say that Russia was advanced, yet they didn't believe in God because of communism. It was, then me too, I was confused. When I began to learn, I said, nonsense. Number one, the foundation of Russia then, they believed in God. Armenia, one of those Russian republics, that's where Demo Shakarian's father came from. And when he got to Azusa Street, you've heard of Azusa Street Revival in America. When he got there looking for work, that is, he was going around the streets looking for work. He got to Azusa Street and said, oh, those things that we had back at home, they have it here also. You don't get my point. You know, I told you America controls the current day world, you know, so they tell you what to hear and what not to hear. They make you look like the outpouring of the Holy Spirit came down in this modern day into America, not a lie. He went everywhere. Are you getting my point? The man went there and said, ah, that thing we had at home, that's the person doing this was Demo Shakaran's grandfather, actually. Because Demo Shakaran's father was a boy when they came out of Armenia and eventually left the U.S. This is what I'm making. The spirit of God was poured before communism took over. And why they broke down was that the thing that God taught them, they consciously removed it from the society. And eventually, over time, they had to crumble. Please, I hope you are getting my point. So that is wisdom. So when a man contemplates the promise of God, after contemplate or with the problem, and he chose to, let me say what we are contemplating now, with the problem, that is with respect to the promise of God. That is, you start with the premise that the promise of God is yes and amen. You know what I mean? Yes and amen. That is, it is confirmed. Nothing can prove it wrong. They say, everybody is going to die now. This is very terrible. He said, number one, God appeared to me in a dream, like Paul, and said, nobody is going to die. Now, having started from that perspective, whatever problem we encounter, we know it is supposed to be solved. I don't know whether you get my point. We know it's supposed to be solved. Joshua and Caleb, let me tell you something about the things of God. It's waiting to be poured out to anybody who opens his heart and opens his eyes and opens his hands to receive it from God. Joshua and Caleb, their own was that we cannot turn back from the giants. Are you getting my point? We will go in because God has said we can go in. How are we going to go in? We'll discuss that later. But for now, let us first agree that we are going in. When we have now agreed that we must go in because God has said we can't go in, then God begins to give us the wisdom on how to go in. Until that time, everything will look difficult, everything will look terrible. Are you getting my point? That is why those who don't want to believe, they have enough reasons to refuse to believe. And those who want to believe will always find enough reasons to believe. They will always find. Because if you use the promise of God to face a situation, listen, my friend, you will always find a solution to the problems. The giants will eventually crumble. Are you getting my point? I was talking about the men of David. Who worked with David? Strong men. I believe that David taught them a lot of skills because David had some skills that nobody had before him. As a young boy, he knew how to handle the sling. You know, if he created a school of sling handling, anyone who graduates from that school will be a master sling handler, whether he believed in God or not. You get the principle. That's how it works. He contemplates with the promise of God. Therefore, the spirit of a channel is open. Listen. One of the films I've enjoyed most in life is this one called Matrix. That film is very powerful. It's with spiritual eyes. Now, occasionally I look at life and I look as if this... You know, my reason is because I know that the real world, like you say in that film, is spiritual. That's in our own real reality now. And I know that the things that we see are made out of things that are not visible. They are almost like imaginations, no, believe me, in which God is testing our spirits and training our spirits. Two things, testing and training. And testing again, having trained. Prove it. Do you get my point? You test, you see how bad it is, you train it, you test to see whether he has learned. Then, are you getting my point? Then you put a stamp on approval. Tempted. That's literal Greek.